Hey, Mike.
Hello, Caleb. How are you this evening?
I'm doing very well. We are now in the second quarter.
Yeah. Are we?
Yes.
Oh, is that a little foreshadowing you're doing right there?
No, that'll come in that'll come next episode.
A little teaser. I guess it's not much of a teaser when it's on a schedule and you know it's coming.
It is coming, but we don't yet have the delivery numbers.
No.
They may be out by the time people listen to this, but probably the next episode we will talk about that.
Well, I mean, people could be listening to this, like, you know, in 2020 or something, right?
Well, they'll definitely have been out by then.
Yeah. Well, maybe. That's true. I don't know.
Yeah. Maybe if they're actually
Tesla's
bankrupt.
Gone bankrupt. Yeah.
Oh, man. That's really pushing things. But
can I say how glad I am that April Fool's Day fell on a weekend today?
Yes.
This year? Oh, man.
It did limit the amount of tech shenanigans.
It's so wonderful. Yes.
But
all right. Anyways,
before we get into tonight's episode, what are you drinking?
So I am drinking a new cocktail with some fancy new ingredients, to me at least. I'm drinking something called a King Bee tonight, mm-hmm. Bee as in Buzz Bee. It's really nice. It's the base is Pisco.
Yep.
It's got some Benedictine, some lemon juice, and some Barrenjager, which is a German honey liqueur. Kind of tastes and smells just like Drambuie, which is the Scottish honey liqueur. And then there's a float of Palo Cortado sherry on top, which is really nice. Gives it a very, like, that sherry, like almost like a sweet raisin smell on the nose as you bring it up. And then there's a sort of a sweet tartness underneath. It's quite nice.
How do you execute the float?
Well, normally what I would do is use a bar spoon and just pour it onto the bar spoon so that it distributes. Because if you just, like, dump it in, it's going to, like, go right down to the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it'll eventually separate. But I actually was too lazy to grab my bar spoon, so I just used my thumbnail. Not a thumbnail of a photograph, but literally my thumb and the nail on it. Essentially, that's kind of like a bar spoon flipped over.
Yeah.
I just poured the sherry on there and then sucked the leftover sherry off my thumb afterwards. So, you know.
Double win.
Well, I'm making it for myself, so there's not the cleanliness concerns. So I can just dip my thumb in if I need to, you know. Just kind I'm a hands-on kind of guy. How about you? What are you drinking?
Well, in continuation of the last episode where I got a lot of support for taking the beer from the hotel that I stayed at that was complimentary, I am drinking the wine that was complimentary. So I'm drinking 2015 Bernardus Pinot Noir. And from Wine Magazine, it is an Appellation blend which shows black raspberry, crushed violets, and cola on the dark and brooding but well-balanced nose, rated 88 points.
Nice. At a moment there, I thought you said Appalachian as in the Appalachian Mountains.
No.
Appalachian.
But it's quite good. I would probably give it a little less than 88 points. I was surprised to see it that high, but it does taste like those things. It is pretty dark fruity. So,
Is it a split or did they give you a full 750?
It's a split.
Okay.
Fancy. Yeah.
You're really milking that mini bar for all it's worth here.
Yeah, I am, definitely. I'm trying to get my money's worth for that hotel tonight.
I hope you wrote a nice TripAdvisor review for the generosity of the mini bar.
I did leave a review, and I left a tip for the staff, so, you know.
Enjoyment for weeks to follow.
Yes, you will look back fondly on your stay at the Bernardus Hotel.
It is truly the gift that keeps on giving.
This was not sponsored by them. We should have gotten that. But
we don't do sponsors, Caleb.
That's
We're
true.
Radically independent. We're like Consumer Reports.
We are.
But without qualifications or standards.
That's true. And we only follow one automaker. So tonight, we have a unique experience. I was involved in one of our mutual friends' Model 3 delivery experience.
And where did you pick it up?
We picked it up at the Fremont Delivery Center. So
the mothership.
The mothership, as it were. So it was a really cool experience. So I thought we could talk through sort of how it all happened from the moment he got the invite, the timing, sort of where they're at now, and then what it was like to do the pickup. And what the quality of the vehicle is. The vehicle's in a VIN in the 12,000s, so it's a pretty high VIN. And just sort of for folks who are, you know, itching to have their Model 3 delivered, are curious about what that experience might be like and what Tesla does and how that experience might go, you can listen to tonight's episode and hopefully get a taste for what that might be like. So
sounds good.
Without further ado, So our friend was got the invite in the.
Well, we should also point out before we start in here that this is the person who you were in line with on the first day. So he's tied to the origins and the genesis story of the Tesla show itself.
That's right, because yesterday was March 31st as we record, and that's a 2-year anniversary of standing in line for the Model 3 sight unseen. And sort of the genesis for the show, as you mentioned, I came back from that and felt really, really excited about it and wanted to talk about it, especially then that evening when the actual reveal webcast was occurring. And at that point, had no connection to Tesla except for, you know, making that reservation. And so we weren't at that event, but we've been at all the subsequent events, which is really exciting. So, yeah, 2 years in the making, and it's just really neat to have that all happen.
Yeah, it's fully connected. I mean, I kind of thought 2 years to the date of us starting, you would have your Model 3 by now. Mm-hmm. But hey, you know, we play the cards as they're dealt to us.
Exactly. 50% of the people in line have their vehicle now. just not me. Could have gone the other direction. But so he configured the vehicle on March 16th. And very quickly thereafter got the VIN number, so the vehicle identification number. So when you reserve it and you configure it, you put down the deposit, and then you just wait. And that was slightly anticlimactic because you don't really know what's going to happen next. I would say there wasn't a ton of fanfare. You just sort of, you've paid $5,000 on your credit card, and then you're just sort of left hanging. You don't really know what's going to happen. And if you don't you know, follow the forums and look at when people are getting their VINs, it's sort of it's not a super exciting moment. So I would recommend there might be some ways to make that.
They should take a lesson from the SpaceX playbook and do some sort of, I mean, a live stream is probably not realistic, but they could very easily give you little updates and photos automated, I guess, of where your car is in the assembly process. If they're, you know, you have a VIN, it's, you're following it down the line. They could give you little updates, little time-lapse videos. Like there's a lot of sort of brand affinity opportunities there that they are passing up right now.
Right, because he got the VIN on the 25th, so 9 days later, which was really quick, actually. Looking, some of the folks on the forums have put together a histogram of the distribution of time between VIN assignment and from configuration for the trailing 3 weeks, which is pretty geeky and cool to do. But the most prominent bucket was 26 to 30 days.
Did you validate people. Their statistical regression, Caleb?
There's no statistical. These are just raw numbers. They didn't do percentiles. So 85 people apparently fell in the 26 to 30 days. So our friend fell in 9 day category, which is one of the bottom three, or I guess the three best.
Top three.
So sort of rare. And I think this really is because this happened towards the end of the quarter. So March 25th, he gets his VIN, and it's in the 12,000s. And that's one of the highest VINs I had heard of at that point. And then a few days later, he was initially scheduled for delivery on somewhere between April 6th and April 9th. And we were texting back and forth, and I was like, yeah, that makes sense. You know, it's a couple weeks, but there's an outside chance, not to get your hopes up, that they might actually deliver sometime before the end of the quarter. And so you might get it sort of on March, you know, 30th or 31st, that Friday or Saturday. But I said, you know, it's a pretty off chance. And then within a few days, his delivery advisor, delivery specialist person gave him a call from Las Vegas. So if you have reserved your Tesla and you get a call from Las Vegas, you should definitely pick it up if you don't recognize
the
number.
Like on the phone, like a caveman?
They called and they said, hey, we've got great news. You can get your car earlier. Would March 31st work for you? And of course, he said yes. And so they scheduled him for 7 p.m. at the Fremont Delivery Center. And so then I got a text saying, oh man, I'm scheduled for 31st. It's coming sooner. So that's only 6 days after the VIN assignment. So,
Caleb, can you explain to the listeners, what is the significance of Tesla going above and beyond to get someone their Model 3 on March 31st?
Yeah. So the big point here is that Tesla wants to get as many cars delivered in the 3 month period of the financial quarter, and that is January, February, and March for Q1.
And that has to be like people taking delivery of
them
too, right?
Delivery.
Like, so if you're if you're shipping it on March 31st, putting it on a truck to go to Florida, that does not count.
Right. That'll just be vehicles in transit. So they need to have the paperwork signed, money in the bank, and the car driven off the sort of proverbial lot for it to count. And so they have a lot of incentive to get as many vehicles delivered by midnight West Coast time, Pacific time, on the 31st of March for the first quarter. And so our friend, they pulled him forward because his car was ready, and they crammed him in for the delivery at the Fremont Center. So he's here in the area, and so Fremont was local. And so the car went from the factory a couple miles down the road over to the delivery center. So, that was pretty exciting that all sort of built up. And I think that progression of information disclosure was pretty good. In talking with him, he said he sort of continually got more excited as things happened because it wasn't such a long wait in between time periods. But it's certainly different than buying a traditional car to a regular automaker, because you sort of go in and you might just buy what's on the lot. Most people do that. And then if you order one custom, that's sort of special and they'll keep you up to date. But like your VIN assignment and all that isn't as big a deal as it is with Tesla. And it is sort of interesting. You brought up the point, like this hybrid between buying it online and are you emailing with people? Or are they calling you? Like it wasn't as perfectly choreographed as I think maybe it could be. And I agree, it would be really cool if they had more excitement around your car being made.
Yeah.
So that it's like, okay, now it's ready.
I would even pay extra for an option, which meant that no one would ever call me too. Yeah. That would be also a desirable feature.
Yeah. You should be able to have that option of just email communications. Yesterday rolls around March 31st, and his delivery time is scheduled for 7 p.m. And he asked me to come with him and his family. So I was coming as the Tesla expert, I guess. And I was very excited to go and see what this was like because I had visited.
Wingman.
Yeah, I had visited the center, just sort of drove by it after the last time I went by the factory. And it was pretty busy when I went. It was maybe 2 months ago. On a weekend.
And is this at the factory?
No, it's not. So it's actually a couple miles down the road. So the factory has an entrance on Fremont Boulevard. And if you go past the other direction of the factory, you go and you end up in sort of a leafy area with some low slung, like one story California style office parks.
Could you be more vague?
Well, yeah.
That describes the entire area there. Gotcha.
And you go into the sort of nondescript area, and there's lots of, biotech and tech companies that you haven't really heard of because it's not, the hottest area, I guess. And then you see all these Teslas in these parking lot. And obviously going on a Saturday at 7, all the rest of the parking lots are empty. And then you come upon this parking lot that's jam-packed with people. And then you just hear this like bass pumping. Like, what's going on? So we pull in, and where I parked last time was fully cordoned off, and there were only Teslas there. All these Teslas lined up.
All Model 3s, or were there other Tesla models as well?
There were S's and X's, but I would say it was majority Model 3. Probably two-thirds Model 3, one-third S and X's. And so we pulled around to a different area, parked, and then walked up to the front. And as we approach, there was we got there around 6:50 p.m., so a couple minutes early for the 7 o'clock time. And there's a DJ out front, and he's playing like pop music, like pop dance music, pretty loud. And we notice there's a food truck. And we're like, oh, that's cool. There's a food truck came. Like, that's smart of them. And we walk in. And there's maybe like five or six people there who look like they're, there to get their cars or whatever, who are waiting to like speak to the Tesla like reps. So
is it like are you in a line, or is there some sort of like just waiting area?
Yeah,
or are you just milling around?
Yeah, it's sort of like an entrance area. And then there's like three people at this stand-up podium. And, we were just sort of waiting in a casual line area. And so we go up to the woman when it's our turn, and she's like, oh, welcome. Are you here to pick up your new vehicle? And he said, yes. And great. What's your name? you know, pulls up the name. Oh, cool. Confirm. And you're going to be trading in your vehicle as well. Yep. Trading it in. Great. So then they tell him like, okay, just make sure you have your title, your registration. I just need that. And give me one of the keys.
And this is the vehicle you drove to the facility in?
Right. Exactly. Okay. Yeah. So he was doing a trade-in of his existing vehicle. And that had all been worked out in advance, like the price and everything. And so he gave them the key, gave them the title. That was all set. And then they said, okay, cool. Just, you know, hang around. We'll come, someone will come find you when it's time, to go in and look at your vehicle. And in the meantime, we've got the food truck outside, which is free. So if you'd like some dinner, there's an ice cream truck coming as well. That will be free. There's free coffee, lattes, all that. And then
what was the food truck?
I didn't go check the food, but it looked like it was some sort of fusion, Burmese and like Mexican, maybe. Like I saw a lot of people with like bowls that were quite hearty looking. It might have been like one of the Indian Mexican food trucks. But then they did have ice cream as well. And so they said, oh, and we've got these demos of group sessions where you can learn about the vehicle. And we had heard some hints that they were going to start doing this. So basically, what the idea here was is like, instead of spending 30 or 40 minutes with each individual person in the car, they've started doing these group sessions where they've got a big like 90-inch television and some seats, and probably 20 to 30 people could fit. And one person from Tesla walks through a slideshow of how to operate your vehicle, and they do the combination S and X and 3. So they
That's just a fancy way of saying you had to sit through a PowerPoint presentation.
Yeah, so it's a 30-minute PowerPoint. It was optional, but I saw a lot of people going and doing it because they go through charging, they go through how autopilot works, they go how you can use navigation, the software updates, the general sort of safety of the vehicle.
So you're saying there are people picking up Model 3s who aren't listening to every Tesla podcast and keeping up to date with everything going on in the forums?
Definitely. Like there were a lot of what I would call normals.
Normies getting their Model 3s already?
Yeah. I mean, there were a lot of families, some, you know, older folks, a lot of couples, but, you know, not
picking up a single one or matching pairs.
I think single vehicle. Okay. So, so there were the food trucks, as I mentioned, and that was, you know, paid for. And one of the signs on one of the food trucks said like, congrats, love new Tesla owners. So that was all paid for. So that was nice. But the whole area was like really full. I tweeted out a photo of it and there are like 50, 60, 70 people in this area.
Session kind of reminded me of the little Apple training sessions they used to do at the Apple stores.
Right. Yeah. Like those little theater areas. Yeah. And they had like the stocks for like how the steering wheel, but without the steering wheel.
Oh, I thought you meant like they were showing the real time stock performance.
Oh, no. TSLL. Probably don't want to do that. But this like the whole area just had this very energetic vibe, which we were like a week or two ago, we went to a Nissan dealership and that place was pretty dead.
How would you compare it to the obviously the Nissan dealership was tough, but how would you compare it to the Model 3 event that we went to last summer? Oh, like that had a DJ and was a guy, I guess, on the other side of the factory. But
yeah, I would say this was certainly less intense. Like it didn't it didn't feel like a party, but it did feel like a much more excited way to like wait for something. Because ultimately we ended up, and I have the TikTok of the whole thing, but I think we ended up waiting around an hour and a half. Like the whole thing took like an hour and a half.
Oh, wow.
And we were interacting with Tesla people for maybe 10 minutes total. So there was a lot of time sort of waiting. But there was a lot going on. Like there were a lot of people there. The music was not as loud because it was just outside. But they had like the Model X inside. They had a Model 3 inside. So they sort of had like the little demo area set up for the vehicle. So you could go in those. And they had someone from Tesla in the Model 3 all the time. So if you wanted to sort of preview that before you went into your vehicle, because the room where they have all the vehicles that are being delivered is sort of behind these frosted glass doors. And you're not allowed to go through there unless you have a Tesla employee and they're like taking you to your vehicle. So this is just sort of the holding area. So people are eating dinner. A lot of people had their kids with them. So they've got these big tables. It actually has a lot of the same interior architecture as like the Kettleman City supercharger lounge.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the same tables, a lot of the same stools. They have the same sort of coffee area. So they had a coffee bar as well. So I got a latte, but they have like the espressos, Americanos, cappuccinos, the ludicrous latte, which is 4 shots. So that was all free.
Are those automated machines or is that a kind of a staffed location?
That was staffed. Yeah. Okay. So they had a barista behind there pulling all those shots for people and making the drinks. Some of the other things that were sort of cool, what they had, different swag than they have at the Fremont factory. So they had different t-shirts, different hats, and different sort of pullovers than they offered anywhere else that I could see. So I think these might just be really new. But it was a merchandise, like a nice store. Everything was sort of hanging from the ceiling. And they had like 2 or 3 staff members over there. And they could check you out on their iPads for paying and whatnot. So
did you get a sense like that will be coming elsewhere? Or was it more of like kind of special occasion, like kind of concert merch where you only get it at that one location for that event?
I think this is going to be limited to the factories. But they did. The last time I was at the factory, they did not have this merchandise. So I think this may be pretty new. And maybe it's at the factory now. I haven't been in the factory for a couple months, but it was there were some things that were tempting, but I already have a little bit too much. I have like a Tesla hat and 1 or 2 other things. So
for someone who doesn't have a Tesla.
Yeah, exactly. It's a little bit weird. So one of the other really nice things is they had a kids area. So they had this room, maybe like 20 feet by 10 or 12 feet with little tables, little red chairs. They had sort of that classic like wire thing with wood blocks in it. So you can sort of move those through for little kids. They had coloring books. One of the really cool things was the coloring books were custom, just Tesla coloring books. So they had coloring pages of like Model S's, Model X's,
nice
roofs with like, or houses with solar roofs on them, power walls. so you can get the kids early that, you know, coloring in all those things. Then they also had this thing that was probably a little bit, you know, it wasn't so good for toddlers, but they had this bucket filled with dirt. And I was like, what is this bucket filled with dirt? And then they had these little potting, like compostable plant containers. And so I think the idea was like learning about sort of the whole renewable cycle of like the sun. So you would like plant a plant, but this kids area, there were no Tesla staff in there. So there was just this open bucket of like really rich composted dirt. So
your kids have some loom.
Yeah. So it was a little bit funny, but then they also had a bunch of, Tesla, like lab coats for children to put on. And a lot of kids who came in were really excited to put these lab coats on, and they had lab, like, glasses, like glasses protectors to put on your face. So a lot of kids were having a ton of fun in there. So that was kind of neat to have and smart of them, since people would be waiting a little while. And yesterday, because it was Easter, I think, or Easter weekend rather, there were a couple Tesla employees who had a basket with them, and they had clear eggs, and inside the eggs were Hot Wheels Teslas, Hot Wheels Model S's. And so if they saw kids around, they would put those little eggs on the table or in the corner for the kids to find. And that was just a really neat little touch. Obviously, they didn't have to do that, and no one was expecting it, but it was a really neat thing. And all the kids we saw who noticed that were really, really excited, to the point where parents would come over and ask, hey, do you know where the Tesla people are with the eggs? Like,
where's the Tesla bunny?
We need some eggs over here for my kids. So people were very excited to get those little Hot Wheels cars.
Is there a Model 3 Hot Wheels yet, or is that just still in development?
Yeah, I don't think so.
There have been some assembly line issues at the Hot Wheels factory.
Yeah, I think so. Must be. But the Model X that was there was brand new, like just manufactured, had the latest firmware. The Model 3 was one that they sort of shown around. I think it was like in the 500s.
Was it just like sitting in it like the stores, or yeah, were they giving rides?
No, just like the showroom. So they just had them parked. And they had like a wall connector. They had some of the big video screens that they have in the stores. So it's this interesting like hybrid store plus lounge. Yeah.
Did they have the supercharger real-time map going?
They didn't have that going. No, they should put that. They had a different video that I had never seen of some of the basics of owning the vehicle. like how to lock it and different sort of very, very basic things from your key fob for your S and X. So we were waiting, mulling around in there. And what was interesting was we were like, how are they going to find us? Or how do they know who we are? Because they didn't give us like a buzzer or anything like at Chili's or something. So because we were just sort of wandering around. And we asked that when we got in, and they said, oh, well, I wrote down some notes about what you look like.
oh, can I see those, please?
So apparently they take little notes when they check you in silently. You're not really supposed to ask, I guess, but they do. And so then when the delivery specialist person who's going to actually show your vehicle is looking for you, they have an iPad with notes. So it kind of reminded me of the Genius Bar, where when you go into the Genius Bar, sometimes they'll take notes when you check in, and they come find you based on where you're sitting or what you look like. So
why don't they just have a little camera that takes a picture of you?
I don't know. But it worked fine. Like, they found us, just sort of interesting little detail. It was so crowded that we were nervous that people might not be able to find us. Like, there wasn't someone with us the entire time. So I think this is probably enigmatic of what it'll eventually be like everywhere, this high volume of delivery.
So if you're going to go to these things, you probably want to treat it like The Price is Right and wear like a t-shirt with like your name written on it or something, some sort of message.
Yeah, I would wear something distinctive, you know, that scarf you love or that crazy red leather jacket trying to be Michael Jackson. Like, that would probably be good.
Your favorite fuchsia fedora.
Yeah, exactly. Something bespoke and unique to you.
Everyone peacocking around.
Yeah. It might not be that hard to spot people at these events.
Turn it into Burning Man or something.
So once we had sort of, I got one of the lattes, you know, I was going to take advantage of the situation, I guess.
Get a buzz
know,
on.
Sample everything, you know.
But not the food, apparently.
No, I didn't. I was pretty full. We had food. And so around 7:40 p.m., so 40 minutes after the scheduled appointment. And it's not clear on that appointment if it really should have been like, oh, we walk in and they instantly take us to the car. I know in some of the smaller delivery locations and service stations, service centers, that's how it works. But the Fremont one is one of these bigger ones, like in LA, Marina Del Rey. And I think they're making more of these sort of really big ones to service the cities. It's not clear if we really supposed to go in at 7 o'clock. So I'm not sure if 7:40 from their point of view was like a good time or not, but my guess is this was probably like a holiday weekend with travel when like it's snowing and everything gets backed up, because they were pushed. It was very crowded when we arrived, and we saw people hanging out and then go in 20 minutes, 30 minutes after we arrived. So I don't think this was as fast as they would like, sort of the SLA they would prefer. But it was still okay, because we weren't just sort of sitting in a terrible, you know, oil change location with old magazines or something. Like, there was a lot going on.
Right. Well, and you knew it wasn't going to take longer than midnight, right? You were going to get your car by midnight.
Yeah, exactly. So it wasn't going to be that long. And I don't think 40 minutes was that bad, especially if we had gotten food. It probably would have felt like it went even faster. But, you know, obviously you're there, you're excited, so the time passes pretty slowly. So then they're like, okay, great. Are you ready to go see your car? And they really build it up, like this excitement. It's not to the level of an Apple store opening where they've got people clapping to like usher you in.
But it's kind of like a Chopped kind of reality show where they build it up and then you go to commercial and you have to wait and get your car.
Well, they build it up, when they come find you, 'cause they're like, okay, let's go see your car. Like, I'm so excited for you. Like, they have this enthusiasm for you. That I think is, it can be difficult to pull off, but at least last night it really did seem authentic, because people were really excited. So then you open these doors, these glass doors, and you go into this room that is extremely dramatically lit. Like, it is very dark in there, and they've got spotlights, like official stage lighting spotlights on all the cars, and it's got concrete floors. All the cars are on these fabric pads. And there's like 10 cars per row, and there's two or three spotlights on every car. So
how many
cars
rows?
Really,
like, how many cars were in there?
I think there were four rows. So I think there were 40 vehicles that were prepped and being delivered at the same time.
Oh, wow.
and mostly Model 3s.
And was there anyone else in there getting their vehicles, or do people go in one at a time?
No. There's always people in there. So what happens is it's continually rotating in and out of going in with someone from Tesla, showing you your car. So basically we walked in, and there was music happening in there too.
Was there a DJ in there?
I don't think there was a DJ. I think they just had music pumped in through speakers. Okay. But it's very dark. So it's sort of this overwhelming thing, because you're going from this bright lit area outside, or this sort of, you know, the interior, but it's still really bright, into this dark area. And it almost felt like there was like fog, but I mean, there wasn't. But it's sort
of. Are you sure there wasn't a fog machine?
I don't think so. I took some photos and I don't actually see any in there, but in my memory, it felt like going into a dark ride. At like Disney World or something, because it just, all the lights on all the vehicles are on too, and there's cars driving through and it's silent. And it's this huge hangar space.
So you ride
like,
Space Mountain to get to your vehicle?
Sort of. It did have a little bit of that vibe. So we go up and the car's there, and he's super excited to see it. And so the plan was he was going to speak with the Tesla person and just sort of walk through the vehicle a little bit. And I was going to go with my phone and the LED light and just sort of go over every inch to try and look for defects for him.
Your jeweler's loop. And
yeah, exactly. So so the specialist asked, like, hey, do you want like the full walkthrough, or are you familiar with the vehicle already? And, you know, in the interest of time and just like wanting to get the car and get out of there, really, we just sort of said like, oh, no, don't need that much. Like, no, you know how to drive the car pretty well. So she spent a few minutes showing some of the details. And so we were in there for maybe 10 minutes looking at his actual vehicle. And I'll talk about some of the details we found, but I'll keep going through the actual process. So we looked at the car and like, cool, this looks good. If there's anything at all wrong or anything, service centers will take care of it. Tonight, we're really, really slammed. So, you know, sometimes we would just solve it right here because they've got a whole detailing area. So there's a lot of cars that are stored outside, and then they bring them in to detail them, and then they put them onto the pad for the actual delivery process. So they were going to be delivering more cars that night too that weren't already staged.
But, was this like when you pick up a rental car and you like walk around it with the agent and everyone's looking at, you're trying to find anything that you might want to point out, or was it not quite that detailed?
It wasn't that detailed. I think you could do it that way if you wanted. We did the final sort of description of some of the defects we found outside after the car had been pulled around. But I think what they changed about this process recently, apparently, was they used to let you drive the car out from this area. And so you would do the entire process in this area when your car is parked inside on this like carpet. And then you would have your paperwork all signed, and then you would just leave. But in the interest of trying to get more throughput, I think they've broken it up into more individual steps. So now you go in and look at the car for a little bit, and then you come out. So as you leave, you then go to another area to sign the final paperwork, like all the DMV paperwork and the Tesla contracts and all that. And while you're doing that, someone from Tesla takes the car and drives it out front. So now there's a slot open inside the delivery center for them to move one of the newly detailed cars into position.
Oh, so it sounds like they do have at least one functioning assembly line then.
Yeah. So they are using that sort of assembly line process to speed up the total throughput. So then we come out and meet up with another Tesla person who welcomes us to say, great, we're going to go sign all the paperwork just go through all the final contracts and everything. And then we'll submit that. And that takes about 10 or 15 minutes to get you copies of everything. And then you'll be able to drive off and, you know, take your car. So that happened around 8 o'clock, got all the paperwork signed. And nothing unusual. I mean, there's just a lot of signatures. Like, there's a lot of DMV stuff for the trade-in, stuff for the Tesla contracts. Luckily he had all the financing all done. He had all the insurance done. So he didn't really have to show anything. There wasn't any back and forth, of course. Everything was already agreed upon. So it was really just signing documents and that's it. There was no nothing challenging about it. But still, just I was just thinking in the back of my head, like, it would be so nice if this was just like one signature.
Yeah.
But I don't think that will really be possible. I don't think it's just Tesla's problem. But there were probably 10 or 12 signatures required. And I've only bought one car, and it was a used car, and it was pretty simple. Like, I think I had two signatures. So there were definitely more signatures than would be ideal, I think. It would be
well,
nice
he probably
to
had
one.
To like sign the papers to transfer his Mac Daddy vanity plates over to the new vehicle, right?
That too, yeah, exactly. Yeah. So then that was done, and then they said, "Cool, we'll come find you again when that paperwork is done." So if you're sensing a theme, there's a little bit of hurry up and wait with the process because you're getting move between different Tesla employees. So there's not one Tesla person that you sort of is your concierge through the whole process who is your point person. You talk with someone at the front desk, then someone else will come bring you in to show you your car. Then someone else is the one who actually does the paperwork with you. And then someone else again is the one who shows you your car when it's outside. So everyone was excellent. Everyone was very friendly. Everyone was super accommodating. But it was, just a lot of different people.
Sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say, it didn't have a sense of continuity or a sense of, like, we just sort of were waiting for someone to come up.
You didn't have, like, one Sherpa, like...
Right, exactly.
Organizing all these other people coming in.
And it was so busy that you couldn't really know if maybe they'd forgotten. Like, it never got so bad that we were like, maybe they forgot about us. But waiting 10 or 15 minutes when you've got really nothing to do and you're sort of standing around is not a
Please
short amount of time.
Please let me give you $50,000. Why are you not taking it?
Well, the funny thing is he had the key set up. So when we were inside the secret lair area and there... I was checking the car, they had him sign into his account because at that moment they activated the car with his Tesla account. So he could
just drive off.
Well, he set up the phone key, right? So then when we went outside, I saw, a midnight silver vehicle outside parked. And I was like, maybe that's yours. Why don't you try and unlock it and lock it? And it worked. So his car was waiting outside, but no one had come over to us to tell us his car was ready for like 10 minutes. So dropping the ball there, I guess, a little bit.
Inefficiency. Yeah.
Yeah, more just inefficiency and just sort of, I think this was just a crazy day. Like, people seemed amped.
It's almost like they were trying to cram as many in as possible on that one day.
Yeah, I think they certainly were. I don't blame them. I think that obviously is what they want to do, but it's definitely tough. But I will say there were a lot of Tesla staff, like a lot, dozens and dozens of Tesla people there.
I wonder if that's considered part of production hell.
Yeah, I think this whole process has to be, because you got to imagine, like, what happens when they're doing double or triple this amount of volume? This is going to be a normal Saturday night. Like, this is not.
Did you get the sense? Did you ask anyone if they had been doing this all day long?
People,
they have? Okay.
One of the people was like, oh, this is great. Like, thanks. Like, I've been doing this demo all day long. Like, you sure you don't want it? But we're like, no, it's fine. They're like, oh, thanks. Like, I've been doing this all day. Like, you don't know. We started early. I think they probably started around 8 or 9.
Oh, wow.
And I think those people were there all day. Yeah.
And when you say he's like dealing with paperwork, is it like kind of e-sign kind of iPad type stuff, or is it actual physical paper that's going through?
Physical paper and pen. Yeah.
Okay. Interesting.
Like, physically signing DMV registration documents, Tesla contracts. It was not on an iPad or anything.
And did he buy or lease?
He bought it. No leasing available yet. So everyone who's getting the Model 3s right now is buying them.
All right.
So then we did the final sort of inspection. So when I was on the inside, I did a quality check, and I noticed a couple little things. So on the... C pillar on the driver's side, I noticed there was a small paint defect that is sort of like a little bubble of paint or dust or something, and it sort of it may be like the size of I don't know what, like, not even maybe like half of your pinky nail, like blemish. And so they came over and they're like, we're not sure if that's rubber, like adhesive from the plastic or anything. So they came over with a technician with some like a rub adhesive remover to try and see if that was the issue. And then they realized it was the paint defect. So they took a note and they brought the service manager out. And they're like, oh, super sorry, we'll get this fixed. And so notice that. And then on the inside, the console, that piano black console, seemed to have some scuff marks on it already, like some scratches. And it was super, I mean, it's a brand new car, so it shouldn't really have any scratches. So we noted that.
Do any of those surfaces have like protective film on them that you have to remove? Or
only the touchscreen.
Okay.
So that could be an improvement. Like they could leave a film on those if they, I would prefer that. Like I would love it if those had a film on them, just to be the first person to sort of remove those.
yeah, kind of like when you get an Apple product, right? You have to remove all these incredibly origami kind of engineered films all over everything.
Yeah, I think that would be nicer from a OCD point of view. I think some people would view that as like tacky, but I would prefer it. The panel gaps on the vehicle were really good. Like I said, it was in the 12,000 VIN. So this is one of the most recently produced vehicles. So the hood and trunk alignment was really good. You know, you've seen some Model 3 hoods where it sort of shimmied to one side or the other. It was really good. The interior trim was really good. Headliner, all the panels on the headliner were attached strongly, no bowing. All the seat material, no weird stitches or anything like that. All the Alcantara on the side was good. No major scuff marks or anything on the door panels. Audio system worked. All the windows went up and down smoothly.
Did it have a sufficient new car smell going on?
It had a very subtle new car smell. We actually talked about that on the ride back. Like it did have a new car smell, but it's not as intense. And I think part of that is because it doesn't have as much of the plastic. And it doesn't
getting as much off-gassing.
Yeah, and it also doesn't have the real leather, which is a more distinctive smell. But we checked the back, the trunk to make sure it had the charging cable and everything. Actually, that was in the frunk, in the front trunk. So it had the charging cable and all the adapters. So everything that was supposed to come with, it came with, it looked really good. You noticed a small defect on the trim today.
Just slight misalignment.
Yeah, but it was only on one side. And what was interesting was there were a bunch of other Model 3s around. I was looking at them, and they were all in really good good condition. And these were all really high VINs. So I didn't look at a ton of the VIN numbers, just sort of there were a lot of people around and didn't want to be a weirdo. But I think most of these were very freshly produced, especially since his VIN was signed in under 30 days. So very, very new vehicle. The wheels didn't have any scratches on them or anything like that. So I think if you're getting one now and into the future, they are definitely improving. From the vehicle that I had rented back at the semi unveil over the summer, I would say this was a much higher higher tolerances. And that other vehicle had some other issues that were being worked on with the service center. And that was obviously a super early vehicle, and the owner knew about those things and, was an early supporter of everything. So it wasn't a problem for them. And all those issues have been resolved. So apparently there's like I asked, well, how are you going to get these fixed? And because I was going to try and be the bad cop a little bit. they said, oh, well, we've putting in information into your Salesforce record, and service will reach out within the next 7 days to schedule an appointment, to bring this in and have them fix the paint and the center console. And then anything else that you notice, just let us know and we'll get those resolved for you as well. So, they did not put up a fight on anything. They totally acknowledged all the little things we found, the few things we found, and were super good about it. So I was expecting there might be one or two little things, just sort of knowing how things are progressing, and told my friend about it. He was fine with it. So I think he was certainly aware that, like, he's in the tech industry and is aware, like, it's sort of beta testing a little bit. But it is just sort of unusual, I think, that the last vehicle he bought was a brand new vehicle as well. And he was like, this is definitely a little different getting a car that you haven't driven. You show up and it's not like perfect.
Yeah.
And so I think that's an interesting challenge. And a lot of the people, like I said, were there with families, and maybe they're not as OCD as the two of us are, and maybe just don't notice a lot of these things. But I would say there's still room to improve, and I think everyone at Tesla would admit there's still room to improve. But I would say I would be happy with the car he got, and he's very happy with the car he got, and I think things are still heading in the correct direction. You know, it's very hard to get to 100% perfection, but that's what you got to keep striving for.
Yeah. Well, and it's especially weird because for most cars, that when you drive them off the lot, that's the best they're ever going to be.
Yeah.
But with the Tesla, well, I mean, obviously there's these like physical improvements they're going to make, but then there's also the iterative software improvements that are being made too, which does, I guess, go to this more of like a almost a public beta program. But also the fact that your car might get more feature rich as you own it, as opposed to just continually depreciating.
Yeah. And to that point, I remember when we did that long talk a few months back about that 1,000 miles I did in the other Model 3, almost all the major complaints I had have been addressed. So the rough ride, sort of the more intense ride, sportier ride that I was feeling and some of my passengers were feeling, Tesla has addressed that. They've softened the suspension.
Like permanently, or is it a setting?
Permanently.
So if you like a sportier ride, you're SOL now.
It is still sporty. It is not a marshmallow like a Lexus. Okay. It is still sporty, but it is just a bit more supple. So it isn't as rough. It doesn't jitter your teeth as much. And as a passenger, I think it is much more pleasant. So the suspension has been permanently tuned to be a bit more comfortable. Mm-hmm. The backup camera, I remember we were talking about how the backup camera just seemed kind of grainy and not as good. It's much better now. They've improved both the contrast, the color, and sort of some of the barrel distortion. So the backup,
how about the resolution?
The resolution looks better. I think what they've done now is they've actually just they've used less of the screen, so mm-hmm. it's not as pixelated. So I think it's more accurate, the actual size. Which it's sort of more of a smaller letterbox in the frame instead of the whole screen. And then the other thing is now this one was running the latest Autopilot, which still is being calibrated, but hopefully we'll get a chance to drive that at some point this week and report back. It has the rear heated seats now, so it had that new interface for the seats.
Which is three across in the rear. I did not realize that.
It is. It gives you a warming for the middle seat as well. And then it also has the phone, and the media is now on the left-hand side, closer to the driver. So there's a bunch of little improvements in the software that have already happened, and this car was running the latest version of the software. So that was all good. The open pore wood was still really nice. What else can I say? Yeah.
The one thing I noticed that was weird was on where the front-facing cameras are behind the rear view mirror.
Yeah.
There was some upward facing sensor that I had not noticed on a previous vehicle. I think you said it was probably like a light sensor or something.
I think it's a light, ambient light. I went back and looked at other photos and it is there, but we just sort of noticed it more today in the light.
Yeah, it was almost like it was like faceted, like a little jewel or something, and it was catching the light, and I hadn't noticed it before.
I think one of the things,
they've got some sort of like Fresnel lens on it or something.
Yeah, it must be sort of like a little bit of a light catching device to try and pull it all in. But one of the things that was interesting was our friend has driven internal combustion engine cars, had a GTI before, and so sort of a sporty vehicle, dual clutch and a little bit fast. And so he got it. This was the first time he was driving the Model 3. He had driven a Model X, so he was sort of familiar with that, what that would be like, but hadn't driven a Model 3 yet. So he gets in the car and he's like, what do I do? Because there's no key and it is a little weird. And
was he not paying attention during the PowerPoint presentation?
Well, since he brought his son with him, he wasn't able to do that PowerPoint. So I was there, I was there with him. And so it was fine. It was just like, okay, pull down that right-hand stock. And it's like, cool, it's in drive. But it was still in hold. And because creep wasn't on, he's like, what do I do? And it's this interesting very first moment where it's like, okay, we'll just push on the accelerator. And he started pushing on it and he's like, ooh, wow, that's cool. And And then it was like, okay, let's figure out how to navigate somewhere. And we went to go type in the navigation to get home to his house. And it pulled it all up, and he adjusted the mirrors, and that all worked fine and was able to figure that out pretty well. But I like did that in the screen for him. So he just, you know, used the thumb scroll wheels. And then we went to go, you know, turn out and get on the highway. And he's like, okay, let's try it a little bit. And he just pushed the accelerator, and it went. And he just started smiling and giggling a little bit. And his main comment was, you know, my car has a turbo and so there's lag, but this is just instantaneous. And he was not expecting it to be as quick as it was. He thought like, oh, the ludicrous cars are obviously pretty nuts, but I don't think he was expecting it to have as much punch as it did. So for someone coming from a GTI and, you know, a somewhat sporty small car, he was very happy with this and that it was, you know, more spacious inside. And also the other thing he was commenting on, since it was dark out, was how unusual it was not to have any lights in front of him without any gauge cluster. And that he usually tries to keep that brightness as low as possible anyways to help with you know, light in your eyes and keeping your night vision good. And so he just thought it was so strange just not seeing anything. But he said he got accustomed to glancing over to get the speed really quickly. So, yeah, I think he had a good time on that first drive. I think he was a little nervous because, you know, bought a brand new expensive car and driving it home for the very first time and still not really knowing how all the features worked. He'll get that all sorted out. So
was it fully charged for him, or
it was charged up to around 200 miles. So it was two thirds charged.
Interesting.
What I sort of expected. And I think it had maybe 10 miles on the odometer, 20, 30 miles.
Thought they would have had that fully charged for you.
I bet it probably was pretty close to fully charged. And then it's been sitting for a few days and just not really doing anything.
Was the voice interface improved at all, or was it still just for navigation?
No changes to that yet, except for navigation and for music. Still haven't introduced a lot of features there. Trying to think what else. I think that, you know, I'll get to see it this week more in person and get to spend a little more time with it. Probably get to try autopilot since this will have the latest autopilot like we talked about on one of the last episodes. So see how that's improved.
Some distant lunch excursions.
Yeah, exactly. See how that's improved. Maybe go into like La Honda or something, you know, go to Alice's for lunch.
Take it up on Route 17 on autopilot.
Yeah, that'll be good. See how good the Kirby's are. But his son really liked it as well because of he got to see himself in the reflection of the roof, which is pretty cool. So a much better view for children looking up the roof. I would say it was a really good experience. I would say if you have the choice, I would opt for a daytime delivery so you have more chance to sort of inspect the vehicle during the day. Also, if it's a first time driving the vehicle, I think most people are more comfortable driving cars during the day than at night.
Probably also like booking a flight too. You're less likely, like delays are going to cascade throughout the day, right?
And compound, yeah. And then the other thing I would say is if you have the option to do it during the week, if you have flexibility in your work schedule, I think you will be happier that there'll be fewer people. So you'll get more personal time with the team. Obviously, a weekend is going to be more busy. And then also the earlier in the quarter you can do it, that if you're doing it towards the last couple of days, it's going to be crazier as well, because Tesla's going to try and do as much as they can to squeeze in every last delivery. So not to say that it was a bad experience. I would say it was a good experience.
You probably ended up getting the car faster than you otherwise would have, right? Because
right, absolutely. Yeah. So that's the other thing, is he would have been waiting till like the 9th. So in the grand scheme of things, I think he is much, much happier having the car, you know, a week and a half earlier. Than having, you know, a 30-minute shorter delivery day experience. So I think net-net, get the car whenever you can. But if you are planning when you're going to pick it up and you have some flexibility, I would just sort of set expectations that weekends are going to be a little more hectic. And if you take delivery in LA or, you know, Fremont, it's going to be a little busier because of the these mega delivery centers, but they're cool in their own right, for sure.
It's more of an event, I guess, a special occasion.
Oh, also the last thing, in the center console, they hid the die cast something special because he waited in line the first day with me.
And well, what is
not
that?
Because he waited with me. So it was a 1/48th or 42nd scale.
43rd.
43rd scale Model 3, a die cast. So it is the red, and it's, you know, obviously much more detailed than the Hot Wheels. And
it's in a little like display case too.
Yeah, it's, like, it's in a, like a little baseball mounted case. Yeah, so I don't think this one will get much play, but it'll probably just sit on the shelf.
It's too bad. I offered, but he wouldn't let me take it out of the case.
No, I don't think he was excited to hear you might have popped it open.
He looked a little worried that I was going to do it, actually. Yeah.
But it's pretty cool. So
it is. It
it's
is
a neat memorabilia.
Neat.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, because the Easter egg one is a Model S, the Hot Wheels, and this is actually the Model 3.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a tiny version, almost like an executive desk toy of like your vehicle.
Yes. Yes. So they all seem to be the same red color, though. So, but
oh, yeah. It wasn't color matched. I didn't even put that together.
That's okay. The red is cool for the toy.
Send it back.
Yeah. Luckily, we did not have to refuse any delivery. I was, you know, mentally prepared that, you know, it's possible that there might have been a lot wrong with it. Who knows? But it didn't come to that. So he's driving it and it's great. So I'm very excited for him. And it was fun to be able to experience that. And there were a lot of really excited, happy people taking delivery of their Model 3s. So,
yeah, and even though we don't have one, the extended Tesla Show family now has a Model 3. So
yes.
that's pretty cool.
Yes, we'll have updates on software, you know, being able to go try out new software a little bit easier now. And
how does the Model 3 perform in an In-N-Out drive-through?
Yeah, all sorts of, you know, details.
Important things.
You need to know, you know, how many men can you fit in the back seat? Those sorts of things.
Well, three of them if you want warm behinds.
Yes, you can turn them on. If you can't wait for a Model 3 invitation and just want to get your hands on an SRX or just it's a better vehicle for you, we have a referral code in the show notes from our friends at the Tesla Geeks, Anwar Beck and Russell, who have helped us get into all those subsequent events since we started the show. So they continue to do that and help us out. So probably the Model Y or some other future events. So if you are planning to get one of those vehicles, you can get free supercharging for life by using that referral code. So I encourage you to do so. And then Mike, where can people reach us on the interwebs at large?
Yeah, you can tweet at us at the Tesla Show on twitter.com. We have a subreddit at r/thetesla show. And as always, our canonical home on the World Wide Web is at thetesla show.com, where you can find this episode. You might be listening to it from there right now, and all of our back episodes. And you can leave comments. And there's probably other stuff on there, too. There might be some photos from this event.
Yeah. And it's kind of cool knowing that his car is going to be one of those vehicles that's going to be in the delivery numbers. So,
We'll tie it into the next episode.
Next week, most likely, we'll have an episode dissecting the numbers and the unlikely Tesla bankruptcy. So we will.
Chapter 14 and a half is coming
14 and
soon.
A half. Very hard. It's the hardest chapter. All right, Mike. Well, with that, I'll talk to you next time.
All right. Bye, Caleb.
Bye.